Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Clinuvel Pharmaceuticals conference call, calling from Australia. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Malcolm Ball, Investor Relations Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you indeed. It's my pleasure as Clinuvel's Investor Relations Manager to coordinate today's teleconference. Welcome one and all. I'd like to introduce three long-term Clinuvel executives who will be speaking today. Dr. Dennis Wright is Clinuvel's Chief Scientific Officer and has been with Clinuvel since 2005, leading the scientific team and guiding the clinical development of afamelanotide from early stage research through to the pivotal clinical studies which supported the marketing authorisation in Europe. Next is our CEO, Dr. Philippe Wolgen, who has provided strategic and operational leadership to the company since 2005. And has been a key driver in establishing Clinuvel as a profitable biopharmaceutical business with a product development pipeline to underpin future growth. Finally, Mr. Darren Keamy is Clinuvel's CFO and has been in charge of finance and company secretary since 2005. He has overseen a most prudent financial management of the company through the research and development phase and the past years during the commercial phase of our life. The purpose today is to discuss the US Food and Drug Administration's decision on our new drug application, or NDA for short, for our drug SCENESSE in the formulation of afamelanotide 16 milligram to prevent phototoxicity and anaphylactic reactions in adult erythropoietic protoporphyria or EPP patients in the USA. Our teleconference will cover the background to the FDA decision, the FDA decision itself, its implications, and what's next for Clinuvel. We will also provide a general outlook for the company before we conclude with selected questions among the many that we received from those lodged earlier today as participants registered for the conference. I'd now like to invite Dr. Wright to discuss the background of the decision.
Thank you and good afternoon. The path leading to the decision has taken over a decade. Back in 2008, the FDA granted SCENESSE orphan drug designation. Following this, there were many years of research and development on SCENESSE, in particular the intensive clinical program. The clinical trials were challenging as SCENESSE contains a new drug or new chemical entity presented in a novel formulation and addressing a genuine unmet medical need in a disease which, until we commenced our clinical program, had not been well understood by the medical community. Never before had a company tried to address the symptomatology and the ordeal of an EPP patient, nor had a pharmaceutical company devoted itself exclusively to specialize on the interaction of light and human biology. The study results and feedback we received were clinically satisfying. Patient and clinical physician feedback played a clinical role in our decision-making process, which ultimately reflected in the European approval in 2014. Above all, throughout our clinical program, the drug displayed a good safety profile. Following European approval in 2014, we implemented a strict risk management plan, including establishing a compliant pharmacovigilance system, which has continued to monitor the use of the drug in the post-marketing phase in Europe. It is most encouraging to report that the drug has maintained a positive safety profile throughout the European post-marketing program. In 2016, the FDA undertook an assessment of Clinuvel's EPP clinical package and declared that the data were ready for an NDA submission. SCENESSE was granted fast-track designation for the treatment of EPP, and this enabled us to file the NDA on a rolling review basis. In June 2018, Clinuvel filed the final module of the NDA for SCENESSE, and we requested a priority review, which was granted in January of this year. At that time, the FDA set a target decision or PDUFA date of 8th of July 2019, and this was subsequently extended to the 8th of October 2019. This has been a long process, and during the assessment period, the interactions between FDA and Clinuvel were frequent. These were focused on data and enabling the FDA to be able to make an informed decision on the safety and efficacy of Scenesse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. It's from this context, a long journey, that I invite Dr. Wolgen to explain what has been announced by the FDA and what it means for Clinuvel and its many stakeholders. Dr. Wolgen?
Thank you. In short, it's a historic and decisive occasion for all the stakeholders, and by that I mean first the US EPP patients and their families, but truly for everyone who has an interest in Clinuvel. It's perhaps a day which may change the lives of these patients, and that is the ultimate objective of this entire Clinuvel team worldwide. And the moment is to see when the drug actually now comes to the US and for us to treat the first patient on the US territory. Now, the FDA's approval of a novel medical therapy is meaningful for the company, but also for the Asian Pacific industry as a whole. And introducing a innovative medical concept for providing systemic photoprotection by means of an injectable hormone was once branded as science fiction, but today has become reality for the United States, and earlier, as you're all aware on the phone, for Europe in 2014.
So please explain, what the decision means for Clinuvel and its stakeholders.
Well, we have to go back to 2005, and this is probably the last time that they'll publicly will do this. But we adopted the strategy, and by and large, we adhered to pursuing one objective. That was a substantial objective to overturn what we call a previous corporate misfortune relating to our technology, but which had started as early as 1995. So along the way, we had to adopt and made quite a number of adjustments to our thinking. But overall, we stuck to one direction and executed towards developing Scenesse as the systemic photoprotective pharmaceutical agent for an orphan disease, in lay terms, a rare disease with a clear unmet medical need where there was no alternative treatment. So we stuck to this strategy. And some European countries gave us the impetus in 2010 to proceed with this strategy. And the EMA, or for the later European Regulatory Agency, approved this in October 2014. And that was our first significant ratification of the strategy. But really, today, the FDA has sealed the approval and provided indirectly feedback on our views on how to develop innovative pharmaceutical products. Now, for a concise team, it is rare to execute a specific program on its own without relying too much on consultants, advisors, and third parties, since the unique knowledge needed to reside in-house, as very few globally had acknowledged and known about melanocortin technology, and specifically its interface with human biology. So today's outcome has provided the Clinuvel team the regulatory acknowledgement that its strategy has been well chosen and accurate. But unfortunately, and not surprisingly, in introducing novelty, our teams needed to overcome resistance to novelty. And the burden of proof always rests on the first mover. I call that the first mover disadvantage. In many ways, the resistance has assisted us in refining the strategies and sharpen our arguments, although this has cost valuable time. But we need to accept the conservative nature of contemporary scientific reviews. Now, another angle or perspective with regard for patients and their close relatives, the prospect of seeing the drug coming to the US must today be immensely rewarding and satisfying, that these patients have inundated us and both the FDA with requests for treatment the past years. For those who had been part of our trials in 2012 and 13, it must have been frustrating to have waited so long. But the flip side is we've understood from the many emails, letters, and phone calls that these patients have been tolerant to the injection and the controlled release formulation that was on offer. So the next few months, we will learn from the U.S. payors how the distribution and payment of the treatment will take place in the various states. So I conclude by stating that the critique many have had on the FDA also needs to be tempered by making Dr. Kendall Marcus and her team a compliment of having completed the review and truly having been the first to make a systemic hormonal therapy available to protect patients from ambient light along the green and blue spectrum, and that is truly a novel approach by the FDA. So over to you, Mr. Bull.
Thank you, Dr. Wogan. We're going to move to Mr. Keamy. Mr. Keamy, can you outline our next steps to provide SCENESSE to EPP patients in the US?
Yeah, thank you, sure. Welcome, everyone. First, I'd like to echo Dr. Wolgan's comments. It's been a great way, a great day, and a historic one for all. Now, the decision theoretically increases the global number of EPP patients we are approved to treat with SCENESSE. It's very satisfying in terms of clinical value, to make a meaningful positive contribution to the social good that the treatment offers. In terms of the next steps, we first need to fully understand and then to implement the conditions of the FDA's approval to enable the treatment for EPP patients. That will involve engaging the network of EPP treatment centres who will be administering SCENESSE and also obtaining agreement with all the relevant reimbursement authorities in the US to cover the cost of treatment for the patients. So this will mean we'll need to make more resources available on the ground in the US to manage the business. We had already increased overall expenditures to largely accommodate a possible US approval, and we'll continue to further invest in the business in a prudent, careful and orderly manner, consistent with how we have approached the business in the past decade.
Thank you. In addition to US expansion, I appreciate many of our stakeholders are also curious to hear about the implications of the decision on the company's overall outlook. Could you talk to this, please, Dr. Wolgan?
Sure. So Clinuval has emphasized and been consistent in its public communication the past years that the FDA approval will be conditional for us to expand the company. And we saw this FDA outcome against the background of the company, which had started its life about 30 years ago. And so we saw this outcome as pivotal or binary to our expansion strategy. A negative outcome would have meant a company that would have modestly grown on the back of European and rest of the world revenues, while a positive outcome today is enabling us to develop the family of molecules for other indications, medical applications. And we've always envisaged a specialized group of companies, in our jargon, a specialty pharma, with one or several specialist focuses to lead and stay ahead of our competitors. And there is long-term value for patients, families, but certainly for shareholders, by focusing and becoming proficient in a chosen area of expertise. And this is how we see the business evolving. Now, the first program to be reinitiated, as we have talked about publicly, is the vitiligo development in North America. And the news will follow the next few weeks as the U.S. dust on EPP has settled. But further indications, as you all know, have been identified and prepared, and the regulatory and ethics clearance are being sought as we speak to start these programs. Our development teams in Singapore, that's our development hub for the next generation of technologies, are eyeing to see an organic expansion of the group of Clinuval. But the art and skills will be to execute swiftly in the most cost-efficient manner as you used to us, from us, and while remaining novel in our approach. So for this, the board and directors, council and consultants have agreed a concise plan, which will be further explained at the annual general meeting in Melbourne next month. Perhaps as a final comment, we relish and have always relished the complexity of being first and leading. But now that our teams have gained experience in Europe and US, the developments will need to be accelerated and managed conscientiously within the responsible budgets that we allocate. So specializing in execution yields value, certainly during bullish markets. And our task is now to maintain our focus and ride through the bearish environments as US debt and geopolitical uncertainty rules. In other words, we aim to expand the company while meeting our own corporate financial objectives. That is not extravagantly spending on R&D in simultaneous programs, but prudently as we've done over the years. The last comment to the stakeholders is very much this, concerning the second dividend that we issued this year, and that is our most overt piece of communication to our shareholders, to state that the biopharmaceutical company in Asia Pacific can be profitable and can reward long-term incentives to shareholders.
Indeed. Thank you, Dr. Walgan. Switching back to Mr. Keamy, as our CFO, how would you describe the outlook for our company?
Yeah, well, in short, I've been involved in the company since its turnaround in early 2006. So with the decision from the FDA, I can't be anything but positive in the future. It's a welcome position to be in. I can leave the, I guess, the downcast nature that our CEO has to him, but I need to be the optimistic counterpart and to ensure that the company remains in the best possible financial health. That's how he and I can complement each other in our different roles. Now, the EPP patient population in the US is understood to be more or less similar in size to Europe. It's worth reflecting that in our European experience, where we have just completed our third full year of supply of Scenesse under the European Marketing Authorisation, posted our third consecutive annual profit with a record net profit before tax in the 2019 year. So we have a business in Europe that is well established and growing, and we'll be working to duplicate this business over time in the US. We also have a pipeline of products to develop to aim to underpin future growth in the medium to the longer term. Furthermore, we have been seeking inorganic growth opportunities. We know over the years that we have the right strategic management credentials to apply to acquisition activity when the time is right. Given the company's relatively robust financial condition, we have a credible investment proposition.
Certainly agree. Before moving to some selected questions, Dr. Walgan, would you like to provide a summary of the decision?
Well, perhaps three sentences. Then the FDA's approval of Scenesse today marks an unprecedented occasion for all the stakeholders of Clinuvel. The patients, the medical community, the clinical staff, the experts, the shareholders, the suppliers, the board of directors, the patient associations, and all those who have supported us in its research and development and during the submission of the NDA. We enjoy a strong confidence placed in us by the FDA, and we will make sure that we work efficiently and effectively to bring the long-awaited treatment in the US to patients. And to that note, I need to emphasize that part of the decision that was made today is certainly based on the fact that we presented a cohesive and consistent story for 15 years presented by the same team, and that has rendered the confidence in the FDA to grant this approval as we've received it overnight. So last, but certainly not least, I want to extend a heartfelt appreciation to all the very long-term investors for their support over the years to help this significant positive outcome that had started 32 years ago. And over to you.
Thank you. I think we'll now ask for selected questions to be read out and answered by our Clinuvel executives.
Thank you. Your first question comes from Adrian Bauman with Kairos Capital AG. If not already addressed, how will the company deal with NICE, and what are the next steps in vitiligo?
Dr. Walgan, I think that's one for you.
Well, first of all, I need to congratulate the Kairos Capital and the family for truly sticking with this story for 15 years. It's been an exceptional patient for Mr. Bauman and his team, and rest assured that we appreciate it. Now, as to the question, NICE, for those on the phone that are not familiar with the acronym, is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. That's the advisory body in the UK that advises the national health system. And NICE has put up resistance to reimbursement for this product the last 3 years. But the process is ongoing. As you all know, we won the appeal procedure that was held in July 2018, where 6 grants of appeal were upheld, and NICE has not responded to these grants of appeal since then, despite having had a meeting in March. So as the time goes by, I'm pretty confident that this team, with its resources, and with that I don't only mean the financial resources, but with its operation and its team, that we will combat NICE through a judicial review. The next steps of vitiligo are quite simple, as we have expressed ourselves in the news communiques and public announcements. NICE was very much hinging on the FDA's decision. To clarify this part, since the division of dermal and dermatology and dental products in Silver Spring consists of a number of senior decision makers and a great number of reviewers, it was quite clear that the EPP review needed to come to an end before the company would offer its vitiligo program to the same reviewers that had been reviewing the scientific dossier on EPP. Since the same people with the same opinion on melanocortins were presiding the vitiligo review process, we first needed to complete the EPP NDA before we could move on to vitiligo, because that would be a much clearer story. So in short, we are now accelerating the vitiligo program. A protocol consensus has been reached by the U.S. Experts, and the next step is for us to seek a Type C meeting with the FDA to discuss the design of the next clinical trial in North America.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Heinz Grunwald with Grunwald Design Superfund. How long will it be to get vitiligo treatments approved?
Dr. Wright, for you. Okay. As Dr. Loggins just said, the first thing that we need to do is engage with the FDA and get the FDA's buy-in to our clinical development program. And I think how long that takes is really going to depend on what agreement we come to with the FDA in terms of the protocols and how long they want the protocols to be run for. Obviously, we need to get ethical approval to conduct studies, and so those studies will need to be conducted. Following that, we'll then need to build a dossier and then submit that dossier, which will undergo an evaluation. So I can't give you an exact time, because I'd say 12 months would be a submission and a review time, but the time that's unknown at the moment is how long the individual clinical studies and what clinical studies we will run. And we won't have a definite answer for that until after we've engaged with the FDA.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Bill Russo with Russo Superannuation Fund. How long before anti-inflammatory and topical sunscreen products are released?
Sure. So first of all, I congratulate the Russo family for staying equally long in this stock. I believe it's been over a decade, so our compliments for sticking with the story. As to your question, we, as a specialty pharmaceutical company, were looking for market opportunities and preferably unserved market opportunities. And in the OTC range, we had identified a number of product lines that would complement our clinical products. So without revealing too much on what these products are, the trilogy that needs to be completed is manufacturing, registration, and a superior IP position such that we stay ahead of our competitors and do not freely educate our competitors to reverse engineer our products. So we expect the first product line within a year to be reaching the clinics and to be made available. It is the package of clinical and OTC products that needs to enhance the value. And our feedback so far is that the novelty is holding up in terms of IP rights and market position.
Your next question comes from Zara Lyons with Fidelity. What is the US price strategy relative to EU prices? How long do you expect payer reimbursement to take versus EU? Does this approval de-risk vitiligo progress in the US?
So welcome, Zara. Just a short note. The three transitions from investment banks have not gone unnoticed, and the fact that you are here again after 15 years is laudable, and we very much appreciate. The US pricing strategy takes much longer than one answer, but by and large, we have always been sensitive to systemic risk and changes in the market. And whether it is a ticket from the Republicans or the Democrats, the pricing of pharmaceuticals is under high scrutiny in the US, and we are and have been preparing that. So as you know, most pharmaceuticals in the world have introduced differential pricing. That means pricing of different levels across the continents. And we have made it clear publicly that we wanted to introduce a uniform price that would be amenable to the US payors. Now, there is another argument why a US pricing strategy uniformed and harmonized with Europe would make sense, since a number of the US payors have already reimbursed US patients in European hospitals. So they are familiar with our pricing strategy, they're familiar with the product, and they have reimbursed for a number of years the US patients. So changing that strategy would be counterproductive. As to your second question, how the approval would de-risk vitiligo in its progress, I think I've alluded to the fact that the same decision makers in the division, those that had the many questions over the years on the use of melanocortins in EPP and now have reached a unanimous decision to approve it, that these decision makers in the same division of the FDA needed to become familiar with our strategy, our intentions, and the safety and risk, the safety and benefit profile of the drug. So clearly, without putting a number or quantifying the fact that the same decision makers are going to be presiding over the vitiligo program can only be good. And whether it is de-risking or not, it is at least going to be a consistent story from the same team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jay, a private investor. What's next?
Okay, I'll take that one because I think we've covered some of that, so it's opportune to provide a little bit of a summary, and I see it that there's four areas of what's next you can expect from us. The first is we've got a European business that we're going to manage and grow, and so we'll look at the increased countries in which we'll supply and distribute SCENESSE, more patients, more expert porphyria centres. Second, US expansion. And Mr. Keamy did cover that and our actions to fit within US expansion, so I won't elaborate more. The third is the progression of a well-developed pipeline, a program that covers development of SCENESSE for other indications, and we've been talking about vitiligo, and there are other aspects of our pipeline that we will progress. And the fourth area in terms of what's next is potential acquisitions. Those won't be taken lightly. They will be value accretive to the business, but we have our eyes open and we are looking to see what is around. That may take time or something could emerge tomorrow. Who knows? Such is the nature of the world. So four areas of what's next that you can expect from us.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Alexander Mengelkamp with ABB. First of all, congratulations for this achievement. The whole Clinuvel team did an outstanding job. In your opinion, in how far does this event affect the approval of SCENESSE in Australia and Japan, as well as for patients with vitiligo and variegate porphyria? Thank you.
Dr. Wright, it has to be you.
Okay, I'll take this one. There are actually a multitude of questions in there. Firstly, thank you for the congratulations. It's been a long and hard effort to get to where we have today. The first question is, how does the approval for EPP in the US have an impact on the potential approval in Australia and Japan? In terms of Australia, it doesn't hurt Australia. I don't think it gives you a huge advantage. You are able to request a priority review, which we will do anyway in Australia, and that would be irrespective of whether we had an approval in the US or in Europe. So I'm not sure that there's a direct impact on Australia other than the TGA would at least have some comfort that the product has been approved in two major jurisdictions. In terms of Japan, that's a much more unknown entity, and we're developing a strategy at the moment for moving into Japan. Then the next questions are on vitiligo and variegate porphyria. Certainly, the EMA in Europe and the FDA have reviewed the safety data as it relates to EPP patients, so that goes some way to helping a regulatory dossier for additional indications. And we've mentioned earlier that for vitiligo, we'll be engaging with the FDA to develop the clinical program. In terms of variegate porphyria, we have concept protocols developed, and we would be moving towards looking at a more detailed protocol for variegate porphyria. Again, that one would require discussions with regulatory agencies before we moved into that indication. So, you know, that one's definitely at a concept stage.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I'll now hand back to Mr. Malcolm Ball for closing remarks.
Thank you. Well, as you heard, we are at the end of our teleconference. I do wish to thank Dr. Wolgen, Mr. Kimi, and Dr. Wright for their contribution today, and also thank the hundreds of people who are on the line who have shown a very healthy interest in Clinuvel and our progress as a business with the FDA approval that came overnight. If you still have a question, you can ask it by using the investor contact form available on the Clinuvel website, clinuvel.com. All I need to say now is thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.